Welcome to the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast, the go-to podcast for all things dance studio ownership, growth, management, and more. I'm your host, Claire O'Shea, and I'm thrilled to be with you on this exciting journey. Whether you're a seasoned studio owner or just starting out, our mission is clear: to empower you with the knowledge, strategies, and inspiration needed to take your dance studio to new heights. From marketing mastery to team building brilliance, we cover it all. Each episode is packed with interviews from industry leaders, practical tips, and the kind of insider knowledge that can make a real difference. We understand the unique challenges you face, and we're here to support you every step of the way. And for an encore experience and exclusive extra content, make sure to subscribe to our members-only content on Apple or Spotify. Your journey to studio excellence just got even more exciting. So grab your headphones and get ready to dance into the world of business excellence. Assemblée isn't just a podcast. It's your exclusive backstage pass to the strategies, stories, and secrets that dance studio owners need to not only survive, but thrive. Let's jump in. Hey guys, it's Claire O'Shea here and welcome back to another episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. In today's episode, we are jumping into the five metrics and all the five things and numbers you need to know in your business to make sure it is tracking healthy, either growing or at least maintaining its health, and what they are, how often you should do it, and a bit of an overview of, I guess, why, and then how to get started. So if that is something you feel like you're wanting to improve this year, this is going to be a great episode for you. So let's jump straight in. So my numbers queen today, Mariah, is joining us, as always, but she also is the queen of numbers.
Yeah, love it.
Now, is it actually something that you've always liked, or did something you didn't realize?
I don't think I realized it. When I was in my previous job, I did monthly reports because our like sales manager wanted numbers and he didn't have the time realistically. And I saw orders every day. I was doing all the orders and stuff. So we kind of put together our own little monthly report, and I just loved seeing who reordered, how many did this, how many did that. I really enjoyed it. And like the process of it. I love Excel.
I was going to say, but you probably love like doing your budget at home and stuff.
Love it.
Oh yeah, you're a freak.
I froth it.
Yeah, and like you, I can't imagine your travel budgets and stuff. That would be so meticulous.
They are.
Of course. Yeah. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
So this is also why it's really important, I think, in your team to like, it's not something that when I hired Mariah that I thought like, oh, Mariah loves spreadsheets.
Yeah.
But when we started to do it and like Mariah showed an interest, then it kind of grew from there.
I was like, Claire, I don't even remember how we, I think I said to you,
we need to do
a studio report because we do not remember the numbers.
Yeah.
Like we were just going, we knew the numbers at the time, but we could never go back and go, what was it again?
Like we just maybe recorded in Slack or like a message and that was not accurate.
Yeah.
So I guess all the numbers we're going to chat about today, Mariah has created a stunningly beautiful slide report that she presents to the team once a term.
Yes.
But even you kind of have a verbal check-in every week.
Yeah.
Do you think that as long as there's like some type of recording once a quarter, that's fine? Or do you think it would be better to do monthly or not?
No. I don't think
that you're
better
not
monthly.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely still doing the numbers, like you said, like week to week or every fortnight, just to make sure we're on track. But in terms of like a full in-depth report where I've put it out, I like to break it down termly because that's how we work. That's how the business operates.
So maybe if we did monthly tuition, would you think it would be better?
Okay. Yes. So depending on, like you said, how your business operates, then that's how I would do the reports. But for us, we work termly. A lot of the drop-offs or new onboards come in within term to term. So for us, I mean, there would be like numbers monthly, what drops off and what comes in. But for us, it's just an easier way to track term to term.
I think that's really, helpful. And again, you don't have to create a beautiful visual document to present to everyone.
No.
It could be something you just track in Google Sheets.
100%.
As long as there's like somewhere that you're recording it, you can reflect back. And what I think I found most beneficial over the last few years, term to term, year to year, is that if I'm ever feeling, you know, nervous about the state of the business or where we're at that particular time, we can kind of look and go, well, statistically at this point last year, we were at this point.
Yeah.
And we got to this point.
Yeah.
So logic states that we should get back to that point or whatever it is that it is. Or I think the other thing is like knowing where your drop-off points are.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out why and how, and then being able to educate your families or at least do
find a different approach.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the numbers.
Yeah.
First number, what do we need to know?
So the first one that we do is student numbers. So fairly I feel like everyone should have some sort of gauge of how many students that they have currently enrolled in your classes. So this is like a child.
One child is one. Yes. Yeah. So this is, again, we're going to touch on
your different
one
ones.
Child is five.
Yeah.
Now, they might do five classes. Yes. But this is one individual child.
Yes.
And this, I guess, tells us, it's a starting point. It tells you the overall, I guess, size of your business.
Yeah.
I notice also like country to country, there's certain metrics that seem more popular, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But I think we cover both anyway. Yeah. So that's number one.
Yeah.
So that
one, one student is one. And for us specifically also, because we have quite a few different locations, it gives us the gauge of growth like person-wise at each place and sort of where we should be at or where we want to be at. So that's sort of why we do the student one, and it's just a good number to go off of for growth and retainment and all of that.
And then number two is?
Number two is the class enrollments. So one student could do five classes.
And so they would be considered five.
Yes. And then one student could do two. So they're considered as two. And then you get a number with all your students that do however many classes. That's the amount of enrollments that you have.
We always talk about our class number average.
Yes.
What it currently is and what we'd like to get it to be.
Yes.
And that to us shows the health and how much students are enjoying classes.
Yes.
And then, you know, often you don't see maybe the growth in additional classes until future years.
Yeah.
So a kid might start in one, love it, then do two, then do three.
Yeah. So we sort of work that out by going, okay, so total the amount of classes and then say that was 200. Then we have,
600.
600 kids. We go.
They're doing three classes
each. Yeah. Divide. Average. You just divide it.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah, so that will give you the class average. So we kind of look at that as like we would rather have five kids doing
15 classes than 15 kids doing one.
Yeah.
Purely just like admin management.
Yeah.
We're not going to turn away those other 10.
Yeah, it's just easier.
Yeah.
And just like shows proof of your classes and that they're enjoying it and they want to be super involved in your studio. So first one was student numbers. Second one is enrollment numbers. Then we move on to tracking. So these are new people.
Yep. So new people have enrolled during their term.
Yes. So per term, we track how many completely new students joined the studio. So this just shows proof of like our marketing efforts or
it's more the front end.
Or how were the classes going? They obviously loved it because they enrolled with us. So freshly new. The next one is the amount of retained students. Well, how many people we lose technically?
Yeah, well, you could flip it either way. How many you retain versus lose?
Yes, yeah. And we kind of look at the percentage, like, loss, like how, what the decrease was.
So overall, like, it's great to get new students, but if you're losing them at the rate you're gaining them, you're not growing.
Yeah.
Which I guess is better than getting smaller.
Yeah.
But ideally,
it's to retain and put new people in. Yeah.
And again, there's so many variables and we've really been noticing that this year. Yeah. And I don't know about everyone else. I think for us, we're noticing the strain financially that families are feeling.
Yeah.
And it is a simple thing to cut if the kids aren't like obsessed.
Yeah.
And also just be mindful that there's no industry standards as far as we can see.
Yeah.
So we've created our own to just try and beat ourselves. That's all we can do because there's no industry standards. And then also, you know, sometimes it's like reassessing our own interpretation of what is, in quote marks, good or what is bad. Yeah. And particularly now, it's like we mentioned, we have like a different business than we had
a while ago.
Yeah.
So there's a different buyer mindset for potentially our school clients than there is our studio clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just stuff like that.
Learning.
It's all learning. Yeah. It's all knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the, we've got one, student numbers, two, class numbers, three,
new people
enrolled, four, retention or who left.
Yeah. And then our last one is our trials. So I guess we track a couple of things within our trials. The first one would be how many trials that we get within the term. And then our second one is how many of those converted to enrolled students so that we can have a percentage number. Because I think that's the real reason, like when we started this was like, how many are actually converting? Because at the time we were doing free trials. And so we like
had a large volume of, potentially because they were free or because we had good marketing, we had a large volume of trials.
Yeah.
But it was becoming quite an admin task to do all the follow-ups and the people not turning up and rescheduling and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the information that we gathered was that we gathered, and that is why we've converted to paid trials this year.
Yep.
So I'm really interested to see. I think overall we can see that there's less coming through, which we anticipated.
Yes.
But it'd be interesting to see whether we end up with the same conversion rate.
Yeah.
But then we're still on top.
Yeah.
Because we've been paid for that time.
Yeah.
And our team has been paid.
Yes.
To follow up.
Yeah.
And it's still then we're only attracting the high quality leads.
Yeah. I was just going to say, though, we had more people come in when it was free compared to paid. So we're hoping.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, say we converted 30%.
Yeah.
And that was 30 people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I get you.
Yeah. Still, if we're still kind of numb, we're just then skimming off the time wasters.
Yes. Yeah.
And so technically those time wasters are costing the business money.
Yes.
In
admin.
Follow-up, admin, and then also we really noticed, like, the teachers kind of struggled to be able to, like, run a really fantastic class maybe when there was eight kids trialing.
Yeah.
So we'll just.
And didn't have that personal connection with that trial. So that's sort of why we shifted to paid trials. But yeah, in terms of tracking numbers, it's how many trials we have and then how many converted to an enrolled student. And like Claire said, there was no industry standard on that. So we wanted to know that number and we never did. And so when we created these reports, it's really helped us see over the terms, is there a change in conversions? Is there a. But to be honest with you, we stayed the same, like, conversion rate pretty much the entire year. So, yeah, just something to keep track of. Like, all of these things, these five things are so important for you guys to know because otherwise you won't know anything.
No, yeah, it's just, it's, again, so when you start making choices and decisions and, you know, you might be like, oh, I'm going to join a business group, blah, blah, blah. It's like you do. There's proof behind what you're doing or what's not working, I guess. And, like, we have tweaked and changed, and it will forever be tweaking and changing things.
Yeah.
But it's getting harder and harder because there's less to do, which is a good thing.
Mm.
But, and there's some things, again, are just out of your control.
Yeah.
The economy being one of them.
Yeah.
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 So that's all for today. We hope you found that really helpful. Again, if you're not a numbersy person, it might sound overwhelming to start off with, but if you have some type of studio class management software, a lot of those numbers you'll be able to at least find and then start doing your own percentages or conversions. Yeah. If you, again, the software we use, you can't get all the.
No, I've got to do it. I get bits and bobs of different reports and then manually do them. But if you're struggling for, like, time and that, I think student, what would you say is the most important out of those five, like, to look at or know?
I think they're all equally important.
That's what I was trying to think.
If you're already going to be doing it,
might as well do it. Yeah.
Do it right.
Yeah.
So that's all for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We look forward to speaking with you next week. So bye for now.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. Thank you for joining me, Claire O'Shea, on this inspiring journey into the heart of dance studio ownership. Hope you found today's insights valuable and actionable. To unlock even more exclusive content and enhance your journey, be sure to subscribe to our members-only content on Apple or Spotify. It's the next step to elevate your studio to extraordinary heights. Your dedication to your craft and business is what makes this community so incredible. So until next time, keep dancing, keep growing, and keep reaching for those studio dreams. Bye for now.